This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I am your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma, and I've got chapter 17 of The Star Seeds of Earth on the way. Glow in the Dark Radio. Alibi Jones has returned to the Hornet's Nest. Empty-handed, he does not yet have a star seed. But he's also recognized there's a bigger problem going on. And that is, this alien force called the Greater Ta seems to be taking over human space. They've gotten in with Nico Constantine, who is the prime representative, kind of the prime minister of the Solar Alliance Parliament. So now Solar Alliance troops have Greater Ta troops embedded with them. And Constantine is trying to expand the borders of the Solar Alliance and take over more space. In fact, take over the Hornet's Nest as part of that. So Alibi has convened a meeting on board the Hornet's Nest with Emily Brown, who's his second in command, with Krish, Dr. Krishnamurti, one of the sharpest scientific minds of his generation, although he is getting up there in years. Kit. And Hector Ruiz and a couple of his people, too, from the Libra Campista and the Libra Campista de Dos, now based on the Hornet's Nest. So we have Bob Bond and Janice and Hector in there as well. So it's a meeting. And a lot of voices. Man, I shredded my throat doing Kit. Whoa. I had to do it last thing the other day, and it was rough. I woke up with a sore throat. Self-inflicted, or Kit-inflicted, yes. But yes, I'm looking forward to you checking out this chapter. It's a good one. It's chapter 17 of The Star Seeds of Earth. It is work in progress. I was taking notes as I was narrating this. I'm like, gotta fix this. But it is coming up in just a minute or two here on Glow in the Dark Radio. I want to point out a cool interview that I was just a part of as we get into some book news. I spent an hour or so talking to Barney Smith of Story Comic. That was live on Thursday evening. You can see it on YouTube. Just look for Story Comic on YouTube. You can also hear it as a podcast. Story Comic, one word, Story Comic Presents. But yeah, if you want to see me in the video, just go to YouTube and look up Story Space Comic. And yeah, talked a lot about world building, the Vatican Assassin universe, the Alibi Jones universe. So if you're into what I'm doing here, you might find it interesting, maybe. I'm also working on a new audiobook for hire, you know, one of those things for my job here. That's called Honey, Let's Talk About Money. So I should be finishing that up in the next day or so, and that'll be out in a couple of weeks. Always good to have work, you know? And it's a pretty good book, too, about budgeting for couples, financial management for couples. I want to remind you, speaking of financial management, I've got free books. I'm not managing my finances by doing that. I'm giving back. That's the idea. It's Authors Give Back at Smashwords, smashwords.com. And if you head over there, there's a link in the show notes to my books there. But all my books are free at Smashwords. Easiest thing to do is probably go to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. MikeLuoma.com. They both point to the same place, and there's a banner right at the top saying, Go here for the Smashwords free books. Smashwords has every ebook format, too. So you can get any of my books, any of my novels, for free as an ebook. You can pre-order the Star Seeds of Earth, too. That's not free, sorry. But you can pre-order it if you'd like. I want to urge you to support this podcast by becoming a patron. I've got a couple of patrons now, and it's pretty cool. People are helping to support this podcast, keep things going. Head to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio, and you can sign up for $2 a month, $5 a month, or $10 a month, and help support the podcast. If you do, you get stuff too, like my patrons got to hear this chapter you're about to hear on Friday night, about a day and a half early. So yeah, patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. I also give patrons free audiobooks and other exclusives and freebies and early things. So, oh yeah, and you get access to the archives. And since this is episode 560, it's just about, actually, it's a little over 560 episodes because there's bonus stuff here and there. So again, to get in on that, become a patron, go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. I have a couple of promos before we get into our chapter this week. Heard from JC from the Fix It Home Improvement podcast. And he wanted to know if I trade promos. He's like, I've been listening to Glow in the Dark Radio and I love what you do. And I'd love to trade a promo with you if, you know, we could mention each other's shows. So they actually mentioned my show on the latest episode of Fix It Home Improvement. They're talking this week about slow cookers. So they're not competitors by any chance, you know. It's like we do very different things, but they do a pretty cool podcast. He and his partner Cindy doing the Fix It Home Improvement podcast. Tell them about your show, JC.
Hi, I'm JC. My co-host Cindy and I host the Fix It Home Improvement podcast. We cover projects that every homeowner should know and top-rated products for home and garden. And for fans of Mike, we keep you posted on new smart home systems and products like robot vacuums and robot lawnmowers that seemed like science fiction not too long ago. You can check it out on your favorite podcast app. It's Fix It, F-I-X-I-T, Home Improvement.
Again, that was JC from the Fix It Home Improvement podcast. And my thanks again to him for plugging Glow in the Dark Radio on their show this past week. I wanted to also let you know about a new podcast novel out there. The fine folks at Skinner Co. have a treat for you for your plague days. With an actual possible apocalypse underway, they've paused the pulp, Flash Pulp, which is kind of about the apocalypses, to bring you a new novel, Jackfish. So it's written by Jerd and narrated by the narratrix Opopinex, produced by Wizard of Production and skilled musician Jay May. That's the Flashpulp people bringing you the brand new novel, Jackfish, at skinner.fm. That's skinner.fm. This is the author's note from Jerd.
Hello, my friend. These are times we were never meant to see, but this is also a story that was never meant to be told. When I wrote Jackfish, we lived in a different universe. Very different suits sat in the position of power, friends were safer than strangers, and the world had achieved a level of calm order that didn't seem likely to regress. When I finished the manuscript, I simply put it in a drawer and locked it. The circumstances it described were, at the time, just too improbable, the prose just a little too thick. And yet here we are, trapped together, alone. We're telling it now because, in an odd way, the events we are about to unfold for you, the tragedy about to arrive on the northern shore of Superior, has become all the more believable. But more importantly, we're telling it because, at its heart, Jackfish is not a novel. It is a campfire story. Here, as we sit together, the shadows are clouded by a bit of pine smoke that stings the eye, and the pages we are about to traverse are the waves of a lake somewhere just beyond our sight. Stay close.
From the folks who bring you Flash Pulp, that's the new podcast novel Jackfish at Skinner.fm. Now here's Chapter 17 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. The Greater Ta themselves are an alliance of several different races, Chris said to the group gathered in Conference Room C. The Sektar are primary, with several subordinate races, number currently unknown. Humanity first encountered the Tektar, a not-so-intelligent race, low on the Greater Ta totem pole. He cleared his throat. After the fall of the Eldred, the Greater Ta began asserting its order on many of the central worlds of settled space. They expect member races to behave themselves and contribute to the general welfare of the Greater Ta. However, the Greater Ta decides they will define that. Now, we have reports from Earth that the Greater Ta are present there in alarming numbers. Chris looked around the room, as if assessing the assembled group. Are we securing here, Alibi? Chris asked. Yes, Alibi said. Looks like your stasis field is holding. I am greatly concerned that one of our enemies is among us, Chris said. This is a very delicate subject. I would not put it past Anita to be working a solo angle on Gentry. But I'm afraid she may also be blinded somewhat by selfish desires. Whatever the reason, one of Constantine's allies is here, right now. So let's guard our backs and watch our security, Alibi said. Krish, why don't you partition off some secure channels on the wands for this group to use, without letting my aunt know? Yes, I can do that, Krish said. He frowned. But I still do not like this. Neither do I, Krish, Alibi said. Point taken. We're good for now. Go ahead. Thank you, Krish said. We have heard through numerous sources that Constantine's announced expansion of the Solar Alliance will not only be enforced by the Solar Alliance Interplanetary Force, but also by units from the Greater Ta. It seems their embeds with safe forces in the solar system were just the beginning. They are now conducting additional joint maneuvers on Earth, training for cooperation in their anticipated enforcement of Constantine's power grab. Expanding the Solar Alliance and the rights of all humankind to be what they can be, to fulfill their dreams, Alibi quoted Constantine's campaign material, then joked, in an orderly fashion, please. Somehow, I don't see Sharkovsky on Depot embracing the Greater Ta, Bob said. He won't have a choice, Alibi said. He's a good soldier, he'll go along. Constantine will need Depot for a base to take the rest of the fringe. Besides, Sharkovsky will soon answer to Gentry as governor, now that Constantine has legitimized him. He's not going to like that either, Bob said. Not the fringe, the reaches, Hector said. Constantine announced they will now be called the Depot Reaches, as part of the SA. Should be the Overreaches, Alibi cracked. And just think, we have the new governor right here. Doesn't do us any good, Emily said. We can't kill him. Gentry's already too powerful, has his own private forces. If we kill or imprison him, they'd come and kill us. I see you've given this some thought, Alibi said. Maybe a little, Emily said. Good, Alibi said. There's more on this that I need to speak to you and Krish about. Remind me before we adjourn. Okay, she said. Krish, I need you to lead a maintenance detail, Alibi said. Do a system check on the maneuvering drives for the base. The Hornet's Nest should be able to move, theoretically. But those engines are old and unused. Let's see what they look like.
You do know those were built only for minor adjustments in emergencies, correct?
Krish asked.
Sure, Alibi said. I just didn't want you to think we could fly this base around, Krish said. It's not built like that. It's not a ship.
But we could move it, a little, if we had to, Alibi said. Right?
Theoretically, Krish said. Maybe. I will find out.
Thank you, Krish, Alibi said. Emily, did you get Kit here all settled? Alibi asked. She looked at Kit, who shrugged, and then back to Alibi. Pretty much, she said. He's in an apartment and on the meal plan. Good, Alibi said. Now, I want you to delegate that intake process to someone else. As things get busier, I could see that alone taking up all of your time. And you're too valuable for that. Oh, okay. Find someone, let me know who it is, and train them up, Alibi said. Get it off your plate in the next 2 weeks. Gotcha. While you're doing that, let's get the cruiser back into action, Alibi said. Run some cargo. Make some SA credits. We're going to need funds. See what you can book for us. And see about renting another cruiser. We're going to need more ships. Yes, sir, Emily said. Kit, you ready to get back out into space?
I was just in space, Alibi Jones, Kit said. How do you think I got here?
Sorry, Kit, not quite what I meant, Alibi said. I meant on a more, well, regular basis. I want you to captain and pilot the cruiser. Take over the A.D. Foster.
Me?
Kit asked.
What will you do?
What I'm doing. Run this place, Alibi said. And I'll come along sometimes, too. Maybe you could let me captain a little bit when I do, for old time's sake.
Okay, Kit said. I guess I can do that.
Great, Alibi said. He changed the subject. We're going to start renting out more landing bays. But only after strict security checks. I don't want just anyone in here. But when the Greater Ta show up on Depot, on the Fringe, people are going to want other places to call home base. They're beginning to hear about us being out here, and that we're somewhere the Greater Ta isn't. That can be good for us. Get us more good people here. People like the quasi-legal status of stuff on the Fringe. The Greater Ta will want to end that and establish their order, with the help of Constantine and Gentry.
Really? Hector said. You're going to open this place up? Right under his nose?
You know you're still going to have to cut Gentry in on that action. If he's around, he's going to see it.
Maybe we won't have to cut him in, Alibi said. Isn't he going legit?
Gentry is trying to maintain collections while he also takes on the governor title, Hector said. Trying to have it both ways, legal and illegal. He'll probably tell you to stop, but then he'd want a cut of what you made if you didn't.
Great figures, Alibi said. Gentry is a powerful man. Probably feels he's given up a lot to go legit.
What do we know about the other new governors? Alibi asked. What are there, 4, including Gentry?
Yes, 4, but we do not know a lot, Krish said. Someone named Peterson was named governor of Kismet and the expenses. Supposedly Lavalure's successor.
Peterson? Could be anyone, Alibi said. I met a couple different men who claimed to be Peterson. More a title than a name.
Who else did Constantine name? Villa on Cat's Eye, Krish said. Not named, already governor. Managed to hold on to the title while Constantine puffed it up a bit.
I remember him, Alibi said. Met him a few times, but it was years ago.
Seemed like just your average politician.
And then there is Dr. Rendell, Krish said. Now,
Governor Randall of Rigel IV. He was Constantine's man at the project. He was a bad doctor, but he made up for it by being a horrible administrator. Another winner.
Wonder how they all feel about the Greater Ta, Alibi said. Now that they're working with him.
If we can judge by gentry, Chris said, I don't believe these new governors knew of Constantine's involvement with the Greater Ta before agreeing to be part of his expansion plan.
Alibi smiled a humorless smile. Thank you, Krish, Alibi said. He looked around the room and then fixed his sight on Kit. Kit, the Dakur have been dealing with the Greater Ta for a longer time than we humans. Can you fill us in with what you know? There was a moment's silence, as if Kit debated internally whether or not to answer, before he spoke.
None of you have any appreciation for the oppression brought by the Greater Ta, Kit said, finally. They offer peace, only if one becomes a vassal state. And one must, because they are a nearly insurmountable enemy.
Insurmountable? Krish asked.
Yes, Kit said.
So, you don't think there's any way we can beat them? Alibi asked. Stop them?
I have not given up trying, Kit said. I am here. But I have seen my world succumb. It is a slow thing. Nothing this dismal happens all at once. But your leader Constantine is weak. He sells you out.
Do you know of anyone who has successfully fought back against the Greater Ta? Alibi asked.
Not yet, Kit said. However, now that the Greater Ta have access to human space, they grow disturbed by your race's chaos. They do not hide their disdain for humankind and your disorder. Because of this, I can see your race fighting them and winning.
Really? Alibi asked.
Yes, Kit said. The irrationality that erupts from within your people is often alarming in its sudden, chaotic manifestations, completely disordered. You can surprise them and win.
Alibi smiled. Krish, Hector, Bob, Janice, and Emily all stared at Kit.
Completely disordered, Alibi said, and if I remember right, we smell like sweaty, stinky meat, too, right? Kit here just loves us human beings.
No, I do not love you, Kit said. In fact, you are hard for me to take, for those reasons.
Then, you really must think we can win, Krish said, to put up with us.
You do things that do not make sense, Kit said. That unpredictability might help. That is all I am saying.
We do? Alibi asked.
I will relate with a story, Kit said. There is a human on Paradise I met named Joseph Beeman. He told other humans he was a guru. He said he could see what he called auras. Energy patterns, I guess. I could not see them. And he activated chi, another energy I could not see, in other humans. Or so he told them.
Kit paused.
To me, none of this made any sense. But other humans were changed by him. Whatever he did, they became very energetic. And they gave him money. Some stayed and lived with him. Some called him a magician. Others went away disappointed. Their behavior was not predictable. None of it seemed to actually be real. But he is still there, doing this, to this day. And humans come to him and give him their money and are changed. That sort of unpredictability could be to your advantage.
We're just crazy enough to win? Alibi said.
Yes, that would be a way of putting it, Kit said.
The Great Urta doesn't like our religions, Hector said. I know that for a fact. They've been discouraging Constantine from helping the NCC at all.
I have heard of some new religious worlds popping up, Krish said. New colonies, founded as faiths get chased off of Earth. There is a recent one founded by the remnants of the Universal Islamic Nation. And a new Christian one, too, on Fortuna. Light people, or people of the light, something like that.
Humankind still has a mystic element, Alibi said. That could work in our favor.
There are true abilities developing in human beings, Krish said. Telepathic, psionic, however you choose to label them. Provable, reproducible. Unfortunately, that makes it possible for a lot of myths and quackery to claim their own share of invisible powers that do not hold up under scrutiny. However, the power of the human mind, or will, being what it is, it can be convinced it has power through the suggestions of even charlatans and work change in the world.
I don't believe in anything I can't see, Janice said, speaking for the first time. But let people have their fun. I don't think we can rule out the development of further abilities by the human mind, Alibi said.
Alibi is being modest, Krish said. He has been developing abilities. He once performed a remote viewing so accurate, we charted a transpace jump from star coordinates he saw with his mind.
I did, didn't I? And who knows what I'll be able to do now, after the gift?
I saw him do this as well, Kit said, though I had forgotten it. This, too. All of this makes you humans dangerous to the Greater Ta.
And ourselves sometimes, Emily said with a little laugh.
There is more you need to know, Kit said. The Greater Ta is more than the Secta and the Tecta.
Yes, Chris said. We have heard the Secta have other races under them, like the Tecta.
No, Kit said. You have not yet met those who dominate the Secta. They are not in charge of the Greater Ta. They are but its bureaucrats. They run things. They are scouts.
The Secta aren't in charge? Alibi asked.
Not at all, Kit said. The Shenta lead them. And we have not yet met any above the Shenta thus far. As the Shenta look like giant human robots, we have no desire to see what would dominate them. They make a disturbing and impactful first impression.
Something to look forward to, Alibi cracked. Giant, human-looking robots, huh?
I need to know more about these Shenta, Krish said, excited.
Yes, Kit said, you do. The Shenta are foes to be reckoned with. Compound creatures, a biological sensate possessed by a parasitical energy creature. The energy creatures are of great age and move from host to host as they use them up. They breed many hosts for this purpose.
So they're a twofer, Alibi said. Awesome. Why do they look like us?
It was not always so, Kit said. They once wore armored exosuits in which they resembled larger versions of the Secta. The biological sensates are bipedal, presumably. But it is unclear how many dexterous limbs they have. We once thought four. Now they show only two. Their armor changed after the demise of the Eldred.
Oh, really? Alibi said. Isn't that interesting?
The Greater Ta were faithful to the Eldritch rule, Kit said. Their rage for order is a relic of the stagnant society maintained by the Eldred for a million years, after the defeat of the ancient enemy.
I did not realize they went back that far, Chris said.
Oh yes, Kit said. The Shen Ta remember and fought against the ancient enemy. Towards the end of their war, they became allies of the servants, helping in their overthrow of their masters, helping them become the Eldred. They accepted an edict from the Eldred prohibiting them from developing new bodies of armor, modeled on the ancient enemy themselves.
And now that the Eldred are gone, so is their edict, Alibi said, and their old armor.
Just so, Kit said.
How tall are they? Hector asked.
Between 7 to 10 feet, Kit said. They built them larger than the ancient enemy, for intimidation.
Are there any of the old models still around? Alibi asked.
No,
Kit said.
When the Eldred died out all those years ago, the Shen Ta made a mass switch. Some said they brought a race's worth of new bodies out of storage, that they had been quietly defying the Eldred for millennia, in anticipation of a future time without them.
That's cold, Emily said.
Orderly, Kit said. One day, there were those old Shen Ta. The next day, the new ones. The domes were gone, replaced by human-looking skulls, opaque in the back to mimic hair, translucent on the sides and front, molded to resemble human faces. Inside, the energy creature can be seen, its individual energy spectrum continually zapping around. Inside the crystalline matrix seen beneath each face's exterior.
A race of giant robots, Chris said. If it wasn't the Greater Ta, I'd say awesome. So why haven't we seen them yet? Alibi asked.
I imagine that you will soon, Kit said. They do not usually appear until after the Sekta secure their initial promises of cooperation and order. One imagines they have revealed themselves to your Constantine at this point.
The Darkur finished speaking. No one had anything to say in response, as they all digested this new information. After a moment's silence, Alibi picked things back up. Thank you, Kit, Alibi said. That's big. We needed to know about the Shen Ta.
You are welcome, Kit said. There will be war with the Greater Ta. I may be one of only a few who can see this, but it is plain to me. War is coming. That is why I am here.
We need to know more, Alibi said to the group, about the Shen Ta and the Greater Ta. Know our enemies. How many Sekta are embedded with safe forces? Where are they? Krish?
Yes, Alibi. You still know people, right? I still have contacts out there, yes, Chris said. Some.
I heard you bragging to Billy Gentry about your network, Emily said, comparing sizes. But you didn't know about the Shen Ta.
Really now, Chris said. Well, I didn't know to ask.
And now we know, Alibi said. Let's find out the disposition of the Safe and Greater Ta forces. Ask them what they know, Krish.
They don't work that way, Krish said. Not exactly. They are more gray marketeers. They bring me artifacts and such.
Krish, you always figure out how to make stuff work, Alibi said. I'm sure you can hear. Hector, Janice, Bob, you guys keep your ears open, too.
Will do.
Yep, sure thing. All right, Alibi said. That's all for now. Meeting adjourned. Krish and Emily, stick around for a minute, would you? The other three left. Alibi double-checked the security of the conference room on his wand. Still good. I need your help on something hush-hush,
Alibi said. I have to go meet Aunt Anita and you-know-who for dinner. I'll be a little late. This is important. I want to make some modifications to the security systems for Aunt Anita's arboretum. Like all of this stuff, we can't be obvious about it. That was Chapter 17 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. That wasn't a bad meeting. But now Alibi has to go meet with his Aunt Anita and Billy Gentry for dinner. That's what our next chapter is, so we'll pick it up right there. Chapter 18 of The Starseeds of Earth. Dinner time! I hope you'll be back for that, for our next episode. Again, in my book news, I wanted to point out, you can get all kinds of behind-the-scenes information, all kinds of details, if you check out my appearance on Story Comic this week. I spoke to Barney Smith of Story Comic on Thursday. Now you can see that on YouTube. Just look for Story Comic. And you can check it out on their podcast, too, which is Story Comic as one word, in this case, just this case. Story Comic Presents, and that is the podcast. That's me, talking about world building, self-publishing, Vatican Assassin, Alibi Jones, the universe, everything. It's a lot of fun to do. A reminder, too, there's free ebooks. You can get all my novels free. Right through the 20th, through 420. At smashwords.com. Follow the link in the show notes, or just go to glowinthedarkradio.com and click the link right at the top there that says Free Books at Smashwords. Every ebook format, too. And a big thank you to those of you who are patrons and support this podcast via Patreon. You guys help me keep this thing going. People have stepped up. It's much appreciated. If you'd like to become a patron, I would love to have you. We have three different levels, $2, $5, and $10 a month. At all the levels, you get into the archives, which gives you access to all the back episodes of Glow in the Dark Radio, even the ones I don't want heard in public anymore. You get free ebooks and audiobooks, giveaways, freebies, exclusives, early stuff like patrons got this chapter early. Again, just go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio to sign up and become a patron. That's it for this week. Hope you'll be back as we get into Chapter 18 next time around. This is the work-in-progress presentation of The Starseeds of Earth. I'm your writer and reader, your host, Mike Luoma. Thank you for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation is copyright 2020 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at acompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of
glow-in-the-dark radio.